Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, February 17th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, real radio made by real members of the community for listeners who really care about community. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Bell.
John Kroger has asked FERC to stay its September ruling in favor of a liquefied natural gas project until the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rules on the state's challenge.
A company that planned to cash in on the race to greenwash corn has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
And the big three automakers are back in D.C. today, looting the last of the nation's wealth.
Portland area weather, cloudy with a chance of showers, some snow at higher elevations and highs in the 40s. And then tonight, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of rain or snow showers and temperatures in the 30s.
Oregon Attorney General John Kroger has asked the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to stay its September ruling in favor of a liquefied natural gas project until the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rules on the state's challenge. Response to liquefied natural gas in Oregon's waters and pipelines through our forests and farms has been overwhelmingly negative. No one wants this. Joining us this morning is Olivia Schmidt of Columbia Riverkeeper to talk about our Attorney General John Kroger's request. Good morning, Olivia. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. The state of Oregon, through the Attorney General's office, acting on behalf of the Department of Energy, the Department of Environmental Quality, and Department of Land Conservation and Development, filed an emergency motion for stay of the FERC permit for Broadwood Landing. Basically what this means, when that permit was appealed by the state of Washington, the state of Oregon, and Columbia Riverkeeper, that gets pushed to the Court of Appeals. In the meantime, according to law, the permit that Broadwood has in its hand is still valid, which means that they can begin approaching landowners with the threat of condemnation and eminent domain. Because the state of Oregon, as well as Columbia Riverkeeper and the state of Washington and, you know, most informed people in the state realize that this project is illegal and that the permit should not have been granted based on inadequate analysis of environmental and economic harm to the state, the state is basically telling FERC that the permit that Broadwood has is illegal and they shouldn't be able to use it as if it were a valid permit in the meantime while the court is waiting to hear and decide on the appeal to that permit.
So, does this tell us a little bit briefly? Can it be stopped?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we will stop the Broadwood Landing from being built. It's an illegal project. It has a huge detriment to endangered salmon on the Columbia River. There's been a proven lack of need in the state of Oregon for the LNG that they're trying to bring into that facility. And there are a number of really substantial claims being made by both Washington, Oregon, and Columbia Riverkeeper in the appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on that permit. The new acting chairman of FERC, John Wellinghoff, has admitted that some of the permitting of LNG terminals have been really misguided because they are not analyze the need in the regions where these terminals are being put in. So, you know, we have a great chance of winning this appeal, and because of that, the state of Oregon is essentially saying, we know that we're going to, you know, this permit is illegal, you shouldn't have it in your hand, and you can't use it to threaten landowners with eminent domain.
That's good news for all of us. Thank you so much. That was Olivia Schmidt of Columbia Riverkeeper. Thanks, Olivia.
Metro promotes itself as green, but the reality is that Portland's transit system is an environmental gray area. An audit of Metro's sustainability efforts shows it hasn't targeted the largest source of its own carbon emissions and water use, instead throwing resources where they'd have little impact. Metro's electricity and natural gas use and flaring of gas at a landfill accounted for 91% of emissions, but got only 3% of the funding.
A company that opened a $200 million ethanol plant in Clatskanie last year has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Half of the $3.6 million that the company owes to creditors is for, wait for it, corn. Production began in June but was halted in January after tests showed that the ethanol was contaminated. The company says it's going to roar ahead and resume production nonetheless.
The Portland City Council wants to spend property taxes to help homeless people and create a new employment district downtown, but two lawsuits have frozen the city's ability to borrow money against future property tax income. The group Friends of Urban Renewal filed the suits with the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals and prevailed on key points in each suit. Now the City Council must decide how to resolve the problems.
Yesterday, a crowd of more than 5,000 students and parents shouted and cheered outside the Capitol. They're asking lawmakers to raise taxes and spend the state's savings account rather than close schools early. Calls for higher taxes on beer and wine, on corporations, on everyone, by ending windfall kicker rebates drew some of the loudest cheers.
More than $500 million in federal stimulus money will reach Oregon in time to help balance the budget and possibly reduce layoffs. But really, that's a pittance compared to the challenges that Oregon faces.
And now, we have a guest in the studio this morning. Joining us today is Farmer Kay of Sunroots Gardens. It's an agricultural operation that's centered right here in Cascadia. Good morning, Farmer Kay, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about your project, what Sunroots Gardens is.
We're just encouraging people to become independent in their food choices and grow food in places where there is space so that we can all live and be healthy.
So you're talking about like exploiting urban niches, anywhere there's a spot of ground, that plant something.
Exploiting, I like that.
It is.
Yes.
Plants exploit niches, so why don't we? With plants.
Yes.
Talk a little bit more about Sunroots Gardens and what you do.
It's all about logistics. Every day there's many things to do, going from plants and biking around and meeting with people and life.
Seed saving?
Yes, many seeds are saved. We've gathered many varieties of kale and other things grown here in Portland and the City of Roses, and pass them out to people so that they're good to grow.
So it's all open pollination?
Encouraging all things to grow and sharing enough seeds for everyone in the city who wants to grow kale.
So how many plots of land do you actually have? Do you work with?
I don't even know at this point. There's so many, anyone.
And you're expanding it all the time. Who can do this? Who can work with you? Do you take volunteers? Do volunteers work with you on the project?
Oh, yes, and there's other people that have spaces. Our shares are full for this year, so people can come out tomorrow night to connect at People's and...
What's going on tomorrow
night? Get involved through the phone or the email.
What's going on tomorrow night?
We're having a discussion with many farmers at People's Food Co-op in Southeast, and it will be a panel of different people that are sharing land up for to be grown on, and people who want to grow things, and people who have resources, and people who want to eat things and share with the medicine that we make. And, yes.
That's how you grow a community. You grow a community just like you grow a garden. Thank you so much. My guest is Farmer Kay of Sunroots Gardens, a person with an amazing, amazing mission and a project that is well worth finding out more about at...
Our Water Mission.
It's at the People's Co-op on tomorrow night, tonight.
It's everywhere.
All right, but the event, tell us when the event is.
Yeah, People's Co-op, 5:30, community room upstairs, free.
Tomorrow.
Yes,
tomorrow
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Thanks so much. More event information is available online. You can find out everything there. Liam?
Portland in the media.
President Obama travels to Denver today to sign the recovery package into law, this despite Republicans' best efforts to sabotage the deal. Tomorrow, the president will unveil another part of his recovery effort, a $50 billion plan to help stop home foreclosures.
Morgan Stanley and Citigroup are preparing to pay $3 billion of retention awards to brokers to keep them from fleeing a brokerage joint venture. Terms are not expected until later this month, but the issue could grow politically sensitive because the government has injected money into both of these companies. So now it's going to retention awards.
The Obama administration is asking for 2 more weeks to weigh in on whether former Bush officials must testify before Congress about the firings of 9 U.S. attorneys. The request comes after an attorney for Karl Rove asked the White House to referee his clash with the House of Representatives over Bush's claim of executive privilege.
And right about now is a good time to talk to KBOO's Spencer Raymond with DC Dirt. Already, there's an article on Truth Out by Henry Giroux. Joe writes, already imperiled before the recent economic meltdown, the quality of life for many young people appears even more fragile in the United States, this time of political, economic, and social crisis. And so now today, we are treated to the spectacle of the big three automakers shouldering aside younger people and demanding that the suffering of the automakers be recognized. Good morning, Spencer. Thanks for being with us again today.
Good morning, Chris.
So what's going on with Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford today? Ford has said that they weren't going to take any government money. General Motors says that it wants all it can get, and Chrysler thinks it might just keel over sideways.
Well, you know what today is, Chris, is the deadline. Remember when the automakers got all that money last year? Today was the deadline when they had to come up with some sort of substantial recovery plan, a plan to get them back on their feet, to help them earn money, start saving money. And today's the deadline for that, and all three automakers are expected to file this plan to the Treasury within hours. But what does that entail? It entails a lot of things, and a lot hinges on the UAW, the United Automobile Workers, the union, which has really become the center of this issue. General Motors, for instance, they pay all their union members, retirees, health care benefits. And that is a huge burden on GM as a corporation to pay these benefits for retirees. And so the union has been in negotiations in Detroit with General Motors executives about what exactly to do with these health care payments for their retirees. And these are the kind of cost-cutting measures that GM and the union is going to have to figure out. There's been talk in the past about union workers taking pay cuts, making sacrifices. I mean, on speaking about sacrifices, just since 2000, Chris, GM has cut its workforce from 200,000 workers, that's a lot of people, to 100,000 people in just over 8 years. It's cut its workforce in half, cut about and closed about 1,000 dealers. These car companies in America have been struggling for some time, as we've seen an uptick in Honda and Toyota sales in the last decade. And, you know, this is their due date to come up with a plan to basically keep themselves together, because we're talking about big-time American brands here.
Yes, shootout at the Not-So-Okay Corral. Thank you so much for that, Spencer. That, of course, is KBLO's Spencer Raymond joining us, as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt. Briefly now, a few more notes from the world news. The Guardian reports that a policy governing the interrogation of terrorism suspects in Pakistan that led to British citizens and residents being tortured was devised by no less than MI5 lawyers and figures in government. A number of British terrorism suspects who've been detained without trial in Pakistan say that they were tortured by Pakistani intelligence agents before being questioned by MI5. In some cases, their accusations are supported by medical evidence.
President Obama plans to decide soon about sending more troops to Afghanistan. To date, there have been more than 2,000 civilian deaths. This has been headlines and commentary from Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 17th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, interviews with friends and family of people killed by police on a special Stolen Lives edition.
Thank you so much for listening, and have a good day.